A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. When Jesus heard about the beheading of John the Baptist, he left Nazareth by boat and went to a deserted place to be alone. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowds so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowd. They ate and were all satisfied, and they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children, because as we know, women don't get counted. That wasn't in the gospel, that was editorial. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. When I was reading the gospel, it occurred to me that most of us would have said, when they saw the big crowd, "Oh no, I was hoping to have some time for myself." In today's gospel, when Jesus heard about the gruesome death of John the Baptist, he went to a deserted place to be alone. So much for being alone, because the crowd found him, and he spent the day ministering to them. Around dinner time, the disciples advised Jesus to send the crowd away. The people in the crowd could come back tomorrow. But Jesus, being Jesus, and Jesus being compassionate, said, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." Writer Barbara Brown Taylor said she wishes she could have been there to see how the disciples looked at each other when Jesus said that. "What do you mean we should give them something to eat? All we have among us is 5 loaves of bread and 2 salted fish, which is hardly a snack for 12 men, never mind 5,000. There are 5,000 people out there, Jesus. No disrespect intended, but you are not making sense." The last few weeks, we have heard parables from the gospel, the parable of the sower, the parable of the weeds and wheat, and last week, the parable of the treasure. The feeding of the 5,000 is considered to be a miracle. Miracle stories were common in the ancient world. Telling and retelling stories of Jesus' miracles was an important way Jesus' early followers remembered and honored him, and how they tried to share his good news with others. The feeding of the 5,000 is included in all the Gospels. But what kind of miracle is it? Is it one in which Jesus multiplied the bread and fish? Or is it a human-assisted miracle where everyone shared what they had? Writer John Churcher asks whether this is a miracle of Jesus creating bread, or is the miracle the realization that if each of us lives the values of the kingdom of heaven, here and now, we can feed the hungry, provide water for the thirsty, clothe the naked, welcome strangers, take care of the ill. Today's gospel is from Matthew. The story shows up in the Gospel of Mark, which is where the account of Herod's banquet appears just before the story of the feeding of the 5,000. Mark wanted to contrast the stories of these banquets, one of life and one of death. Jesus John was in prison for rebuking Herod for marrying the ex-wife of his brother, Herodias. At Herod's birthday feast, Herod's unnamed daughter danced before Herod, who was pleased and offered her anything she asked for. Guided by her mother, the girl demanded the head of John the Baptist. Herod faced a dilemma. He was surprised by her request. He knew John was revered by the people, and Herod even liked listening to John. But what if one of the officers told a higher-up about Herod's failure to keep his promise? In the end, Herod chose empire and reluctantly ordered the beheading of John. Mark showed the contrast between Herod's feast, an exclusive private gala for the rich and powerful that led to death, and Jesus' feast, an inclusive community picnic for the poor and oppressed that led to life. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus told the disciples to give the crowd something to eat. Barbara Brown Taylor says the disciples were operating out of a sense of scarcity. They saw the size of the crowd, looked at how much they would need, what the disciples had, which was not much, and concluded it wasn't enough. Throughout its history, the United States has operated out of a sense of scarcity and has chosen empire. From the beginning, our government took land from the Native Americans. A country the size of the United States should have enough land for everyone. Recently, the United States government launched military strikes in Venezuela, captured their president, and is controlling the nation's oil industry, still operating out of a sense of scarcity and empire. The United States exhibits wider disparities of wealth between the rich and the poor than any other developed nation. The wealth of Americans' billionaires increased by almost a third since 2025. About half of the workers in the U.S. make less than a living wage. Last year, Congress reduced taxes for the wealthiest Americans. To pay for that tax cut, social programs were deeply reduced, including funding for health care, the Center for Disease Control, and SNAP. Theologian Walter Brueggemann wrote about the conflict between the narratives of abundance and scarcity. He discussed the Nike story. Whoever has the most shoes when he dies wins. In that story, we end up with only what we manage to get for ourselves. It produces indifference to the poor, the buildup of armaments, divisions among people, and environmental racism. It tells us not to care about anyone but ourselves, and it is the prevailing creed of the American society. But the people of God counter with a bread that is more excellent than crass materialism. Jesus told his disciples to give the crowd something to eat, and he says the same to us today. It may look like there's not enough bread to go around, but the feeding of the 5,000 shows us, if we open our mind, we will see there is enough. God has already provided enough bread to feed everyone. It just depends on how we divide it up. It would cost between $25 to $35 billion to end hunger in the United States. The U.S. has spent $37.5 billion on the war in Iraq. Tells us something about our priorities. Walter Brueggemann tells us that everywhere Jesus went, he broke the vicious cycles of poverty and bondage. He healed, transformed, empowered, and brought new life. He preached the kingdom of God where the economy is not based on self-interest, but is reorganized toward caring for our neighbors. He showed that the world is filled with abundance and freighted with generosity. If bread is broken and shared, there is enough for all. We know that bringing God's kingdom to fruition involves more than feeding people. It involves inclusion, justice, and equality for everyone, especially the poor, the vulnerable, and the marginalized. It means dismantling the systems of power and privilege. It includes refusing to support the empire in moral wrongdoing. Just as the disciples were operating out of a sense of scarcity of food, we sometimes operate out of a sense of a scarcity of resolve. We get discouraged because we assume there's not enough support among our fellow Americans to fight back against the empire, to fight for the rights of the poor, the vulnerable, and the marginalized. Do we have the resolve to bring God's mercy and justice to earth? Recently, I came across a story of resistance and persistence. You may know that the government has been buying warehouses to repurpose as prisons for thousands of immigrants. Huge prisons. Citizens Bank in Rhode Island has financed two of the largest companies that run these immigrant prisons. Since the beginning of the year, there have been widespread demonstrations against ICE, these prisons, and Citizens Bank. Individuals have been removing money from the bank. The Greater Boston Interfaith Organization asked to talk about this with bank officials, but after initially agreeing, the CEO nixed it. In May, the Interfaith group pulled out $1 million from its account in the bank. In June, there were 100 simultaneous demonstrations against the bank and its branches. The bank still wouldn't talk. The Interfaith group pulled out $2 million more. Other groups started withdrawing their money, including two cities in New Jersey and unions. The Greater Cleveland Congregations, a faith-based coalition of 26 churches, announced its plan to withdraw money. Finally, in mid-July, Citizens announced it would end its relationship with the two companies purely for business reasons and not because of political pressure. Yeah, right. Jesus is engaged in the sacramental, subversive reordering of public reality. His example gives us the mandate to transform our public life. And the people say,
Amen.
Your comments.